want to say, teach your children, don't expect life to be perfect or fair, because it's not. And don't be a helicopter parent.
There you go. There's a grandma, smart grandma there. She's been down the trail. Hey, Dr. Randy here, along with a host of others from our Intentional Living family, and we're going to have ourselves a parent talk today. That's what we're going to do. We're going to open the phone line. In fact, we are going to open the phone lines this very minute. I'd love to hear from you. We've been at this a long time, helping parents, thousands of parents all over the country, around the world online for many years. And if you got something going on, you'd like to get some feedback, and maybe a question you have about parenting, I'm here. I'm Dr. Randy. Along with Jennifer and Steven and our team, we're praying for you. We love you. We want to help you with your kids, young or old. Maybe it's an adult son or daughter, or maybe it's a grandson or daughter. Life is tough, and we all have questions, and we'd love to give you some feedback today and maybe ask you some questions, help you think through something going on that you'd like some direction. Single moms and dads, blended families, young and old, we all have points where we say, I wonder if I could get some help on this. All right. 888-888-1717 is my number. It comes right here into our Intentional Living Center. 888-888-1717. I could even share some of the things that we made mistakes in raising three kids and trying to be good grandparents to aid. So we're in this battle together. We're in this journey together. And you know what? We need each other. And I'd love to talk to you. 888-888-1717. Molly, in Florida today, you're up first. What's your question for me?
Hi, Dr. Randy. I understand and hear that you're talking about being a single parent, and you talk about being consistent, you know, with discipline, what happens with a child if they say, well, I can do this at mom's or I can do this at dad's. But what is some advice in an instance where the parent is deceased and the child is saying, if mommy was here or if daddy was here, I could do that, or they would let me do that. What is a good response for a child that's dealing with grief and holding them to being accountable and responsible? Mm. Thank you so much for your time and all that you do.
Yeah, well, thank you for that question, Molly. It's, as you were asking that, I was picturing this thing of shadow boxing. You've seen pictures of people boxing and there's no one there. In fact, I think it was John F. Kennedy who wrote, don't quote me, but I believe it was when I was reading one of his autobiographies, that he felt like he was shadow boxing a deceased sibling. He felt like he could never measure up. And I think that can happen in families with siblings, with married people, and in your case, with a spouse that's deceased. And so when you feel like you're shadow boxing, well, there is no winner, right? I mean, it's just your son or daughter can picture in their mind what mom or dad would do. And two things can happen. They can start to use this against you. They can start to say, hey, I've got a deceased parent here. This is in the back of their head, by the way. They're not thinking this through, you know. But it's just sort of, hey, I'm finding I have some power in my relationship with my mom when I bring up dad's name. Dad would. I mean, this can happen even when you don't have a deceased parent. This can happen when you're divorced or just separated. So your question is, what do you do? I think you acknowledge that. Well, that'd be interesting, but you know, mom isn't here or dad isn't here. And I wish you were here too. But right now I'm mom and this is what we're going to do. In other words, I think you acknowledge what they've said, which shows respect, but you don't deviate from the plan of what you have to do. You're the parent. And pretty soon the child should start to recognize that you respect them. You respect the deceased parent, but that you're the authority and you're going to move forward. Don't let them use that as a game to play against you, because they will, right? All right, talking parenting today, a parent talk at 888-888-1717 is the number. I'd love to have you come and be a part of our discussion today as we're focusing on what does it mean and how can we, you know, be the best parent or grandparent that we want to be and need to be in our relationship with our kids. All right. When you call 888-888-1717, you can leave your question. I'd love to talk to you.
Hi, my name is Rosa, and I'm actually from New Mexico, and I listen to you guys on the radio quite a bit. And I just had some questions or maybe needing some guidance on being a single parent and, you know, you're dating somebody and the kids don't really feel, you know, a desire or they don't feel like they fit in the relationship. And my struggle just recently was being engaged and my kids don't really have their father involved. And how do parents deal with it when you kind of feel like the realization that maybe they wanted you and not the children? How would you interpret that to the other person? Like, hey, I know you were in love with me, but it just did not turn out the way we both expected it to be. Like, I'm a full-time mom, and I just don't know how to wrap my mind around how do you get both sides to come together as one.
Yeah, Rosa, whenever I hear a question like yours that has an element of confusion with it, you know, sometimes it's even hard to quite understand the clarity of the question because you're confused and trying to figure it out yourself. As I understand it, here you are dating a person that sounds like he wants you, but maybe the kids are second fiddle in the relationship. You know, in a quietness of your heart, this ain't going to work. This is going to blow up big time. Your number one priority, those kids, and that guy needs to know that's your number one priority. And if his number one priority isn't to help you raise those kids, you need to run. Don't walk, run, right? Because what'll happen is after you get married, you're going to have this constant in the middle tension between your husband and your kids. Your kids are going to resent you, resent him. He's going to resent you and the kids, and you're going to have a problem. This is why over the years, we've really encouraged parents. If you're a single mom or dad, be very careful to understand that if you get into a blended family, that everybody understands the rules, the priorities, all the stuff is on the table. You clearly have talked it all through and you're there. If not, it's going to create a serious problem for you. It really is. All right. It's a parent talk today. How you doing as a parent? Can I help you? Love to talk. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
So how do you love someone who's an emotionally weak person? I'm not talking about the normal emotions that we have. I have emotional weakness, but when it becomes a pervasive problem to the point where you can't relate well with a person, you can't communicate, you can't get along, it creates a problem, right? Where does our emotional weaknesses come from?
In his message, How to Love the Emotionally Weak, Dr. Randy explains how you can respond in a way that's healthy for both you and the other person. And if you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Amen. Thank you. Hey, Kurt, you reminded everyone that when they join and come be part of the Intentional Living Journey with us, we're going to make sure you all get access to that myriad of teaching we have up on our site. Love to get that into your hands. For members, this month on the emotionally weak person, how do you love that person? How do you hold them accountable? How do you deal with someone who has the weakest position in the relationship and that tends to control the relationship? That's the teaching this month. 888-888-1717. Join those who have joined in this last month to be a part of Intentional Living. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or again, call during West Coast business hours. 888-888-1717. Talking parenting today.
My name is Monica. I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona. I think one of my biggest advice that I would give is please be your children's parent, not their friend. As they grow older, you become a friend to them, but when they're children under the age of 18, they need a parent, not a friend. Thank you. Love your program.
Yeah, I hear you, and I agree with you, Monica. And of course, being a parent doesn't mean you can't be friends, you know, but obviously the goal is to be a parent because you're the only one with that name, right? Your mom or dad. And there'd be a lot of friends in a lifetime, but who do they turn to when it really gets tough? I want my mom. You even see that on the football field, right? Hi, mom, you know? So be the parent. That's what they want and they need. All right, let's go to the phone calls. You can join in, 888-1717. Veronica, how are you?
Hi, fine, and you?
Good. What's going on? What's your question today?
So I have a question. I have 5 grown kids. Mm-hmm. I was a single mom for many years. The 36 years I raised them. They all do wonderful. But the problem I have is that now that they have their spouses or their partners, there's become division between my kids. And I don't like the division. I don't know if it's jealousy. I don't know if it's just things that they're doing. Like my daughter-in-law, they're doing things that are not proper to the family. So now it's division in the family. Mm-hmm. And I don't want the holidays to be bad.
So you're talking about not just what I hear you saying is a division openly. I mean, they're arguing and have that kind of level of division, or is it the undercurrent, the passive aggressive stuff, or is it out on the surface?
Out on the surface. Mm-hmm.
What is there one big issue or one big point of contention, or is it a bunch of little stuff?
So my last two are twins, uh-huh. and they're really close. One of them had a girlfriend since high school, so she was part of the circle of that twin partnership. Right. Another one came in, and that one became very close to all of them too, but then separated and did stuff and came back, and now it's making division between the whole family.
All right. So
not with me, but with my children.
Yeah. So they're not happy with their sibling and who they married, basically. Or we're with.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you have to fix
it? I never had this problem with them fighting like this. You know, it's been long. Like, it's been a long month that it keeps going on.
So it's been just recent?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are they trying to draw you in, or are they keeping you out of it?
Yeah. No, they're trying to draw me in and say their opinions to it, and I'm not picking sides because I love all of them. I even love my in-laws. But I just feel like I would like to see my kids get together and talk about this and really just have it all out to the open of what they're feeling and what's wrong and what's right. Because, I mean, the holidays are coming and I just want to see them together.
Yeah. Hey, you know, there's a lot of parents listening, and any of us who have raised kids and then they get married and they have kids and then they have, there's in-laws. I do a whole series of teaching on in-laws, and I tell people that the in-law relationship can be complicated, especially with the last name Law. You know, when you have Law in your name, that's a problem sometimes. We've been blessed, so I can identify from the counsel I've given people and talk to people over the years. And I remind them of a couple of things. One is, our job is to help that child or that person that's in our family to be successful in their in-law relationships. Okay? And that's should be our number one priority. Sometimes we have to bend over backwards. Sometimes we have to be a little tolerant because someone's relationship and the in-law relationship isn't what we think it should be or how it should work. But when they walk into the front door of your house and they come there for Thanksgiving, you're cutting the turkey, and you don't want them cutting each other with their words and their attitudes. And so if it were me and you see this as a problem, I would communicate with the ones that you know that are your kids. I say, I love you guys. I know there's stuff going on. I don't understand it. I don't like it. I love you guys. You're all mature. You're on your own. You need to work these things out. I'm praying for you. But please, when you come here for Thanksgiving, let's have Thanksgiving together. And if that's not something you feel comfortable doing, maybe you're going to have to schedule another time to come over. I don't know. But I don't want to have Thanksgiving be ruined because you guys can't communicate with each other. That's a tough thing. I hear your heart as a mom. My heart would be broken as well if that were the case. But one thing you cannot do, please, for your sake, don't allow your kids, Veronica, to draw you into the middle of this. This is between them. And I can tell you right now, if you dare say one thing against one other person, It's going to get back to them, and you will pay for that maybe for the rest of your life. It's just not worth it, and it's not biblical. All right, David's in New Mexico. Hi there, David. How are you?
I'm braving the deep 4 inches of snow in Albuquerque. It's just wonderful.
You have 4 inches of snow in Albuquerque?
It's great.
Wow.
Yeah, we got four.
And you're enjoying it?
Not quite that much now. It's melting. My dog does.
Do you have a shovel in the garage? Or?
Oh, no, no. I learned that the best thing to do for retired folks is move into a senior apartment complex where they do it all for you.
There you go.
And I'm letting Jason, the maintenance guy, do the shoveling, and he's doing a great job.
4 inches of snow. Oh, it was cold here, too. We were down in the 30s here last night and woke up this morning in the mid-50s, and, well, it's unusual. All right. What's your question or comment, David?
Comment. I married my wife in 2010, and she has had very severe migraines all her life. She is a retired school teacher, but her son was 19 when I married her. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I'm proud of him. He's my boy because he hasn't drawn unemployment. He's 35 now. He has worked continually. There's people trying to hire him away from other people that have him working. He's managing restaurants. And I asked him one time where he got the work ethic, and he said, well, Mom had migraines all her life. I watched her get up in so much pain she couldn't hardly keep her eyes open. She'd get up, she'd get ready to go to work, get in her wheelchair, get us ready to go to work and take us to school, and she was a single mother. And then she'd go to her class and teach, whether she felt good or not. And he learned from watching her, this incredible work ethic, these very good morals, this very strong integrity and character. And it basically is a situation where the example that he watched was more powerful than anything she could have ever told him.
And you know something else, David? Your respect and honor for your wife, I bet you kind of filters down to that son. I mean, you came in later here, right? And I think you said he was 19 when you came into the family. But seeing you love her and respect her and honor her like that has to be a powerful thing. But you're right. The example, we're training up a child in the way they should go. I mean, the Bible says that in Proverbs 22. And our job is to train. We think our job is always to be punishing or disciplining. And remember, discipline is training, not punishment. The word discipline comes from the idea of discipleship, of training. And if we see it as an opportunity to train and love and instruct, and boy, it's such a powerful thing in this process of being an intentional parent. Love your calls. We got some more coming. We got a question about advice for a middle child. You middle children. Are you a problem? I don't know. We'll talk about it. I'm a baby, so I think all first and middle children are a problem anyway. So let's take a break. We'll be right back. Now, I have a thesis that I want to share with you this month. This is for all of our donors, for all of our members of the Intentional Living family, and for the staff. Something that I believe, and I've seen over years of counseling and working with people, and frankly, I've seen it in myself, and here it is. The weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. Now, when you have friendships, you can kind of deal with those. You can put, you know, some boundaries in place and barriers, or maybe separate as a friend and go in another direction. But when it's someone that you're close to in your family, what is it when you have an emotionally weak person that's your parent, or your sibling, or your spouse, or yourself?
You know, this lesson this month is our featured lesson for members. I think it's one of the most important lessons we've taught, because if you think of it, a weak person controlling, you think of a weak person not being controlling, but the reality is weakness is controlling.
let's face it. Think about your children. You got three children, all right? And they're little guys. And when one of them wants to get your attention, what do? It's not from strength, not from confidence. They throw a fit, or they're emotionally weak, or they pout, or whatever they do, childlike, because at that moment they're not strong, they're weak. And as they're weak, they control the whole family. And they can grow up, and you can have a marriage or a family relationship where the weakest person emotionally in that relationship, you feel like you're walking on eggshells all the time. And what are they doing? They're controlling the relationship. So I go on to teach, what are some things you can do to love, respect, and put boundaries in place with an emotionally weak person? It's the lesson this month for our members. It's up on our exclusive site for members. Those of you who have been joining us in support, becoming a part of the Intentional Living family with your monthly support, thank you. From Arizona, New Mexico, I see reports coming in from all over the country. Thank you for joining us. You can do that today by going to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Pamela Miller. I've learned through the years of parenting with my one single daughter to listen. Just listen to what she has to say and what she's feeling, and not always give my opinion, not always come out with what I think she should do, but to just listen. It's taken me a long time to learn it, and we're a lot closer because I listen. And it brings you close together and all your kids. I'm a fifth grade teacher, and I've learned to listen. And that's taken me a long time to figure that out. And it really helps. Take care. Bye.
Well, we love you guys. You know, we get so many comments that come in and stories over the years. We did a little math the other day. I've talked to over 50,000 people, and my voice still works on most days. I mean, not in the last day, but 50,000 people over the years through our ministry, just on the radio, not to mention the thousands and many, many thousands in conferences. And we have one simple message. We want to experience life. We want to experience being a parent or in our marriage or with our finance in this world in which we live the way God intended. God intended for good for us. He's given us a hope and a future according to Scripture. And so I want you, more than anything, to find joy in raising those kids, even though it can be a pain in the neck and exhausting sometimes, right? And you do that by being intentional with the big picture, the outcome. That's true in your marriage, your finances, every relationship. What is God's intention for us? And that's why we do this. All right, let me get to our calls. We have Keitha in Texas. Hi there, how you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm good.
Hi, what's your question today?
So my question... my middle son, he's 14, freshman in high school. Him and my youngest, who's 12, started in a new school district this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the youngest was struggling academically, so me and my husband decided to homeschool for him. But we also gave the option for my middle son to do homeschooling as well, but he didn't want to. He enjoyed the new school. And fast forward a few weeks, and he comes home crying, saying that he was getting bullied and he wanted to start homeschooling now. And my husband thinks he basically said he needs to man up and stick up for himself and work through it. And I'm a little less that because my middle son is... he's not your typical middle child. He's very sensitive and tenderhearted. He's really sweet and responsible, and it's really heartbreaking to hear him being bullied at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already confronted the school about it, but
that's good.
It's too soon for me to tell if it homeschool is a good fit for us as a family with my youngest. So I don't know what I should do.
Is he being bullied because he is so sweet and nice and kind? That sounds like, and let's face it, these bullies, they're not going to go after somebody who's strong and confident. They're cowards. And so they're going to pick on weaknesses in people and try to exploit it. Is that what's really happening with your son?
It definitely could be. The names that he's being called definitely reflect that.
Yeah. Well, I hear your husband, and of course, when we talk about bullying today, sometimes, like you say, I got to go to the school and say, hey, this is not something we came here for and are going to tolerate. At the same time, your son's saying, hey, that's going to make it worse for me, and that becomes an issue. I hear both you and I hear your husband. I think, and I don't know all the details, but if that were my son, I probably would want to really explore what is the bullies about, what are they doing, is it, and then try to equip my son in figuring out how to be stronger and trying to approach it, things he can say, and things that are not working for him. Another thing that's really helpful is if a child's going into a new school can make at least one good friend, if they can have one person in that school that they have lunch with and they identify with, there's confidence, there's some confidence in numbers. And then the other thing, sounds like you're not clear on the schooling, I would probably encourage him to say, look, we have confidence in you and we're proud of you. We know you can do this. I'd try to build confidence in his life. I would equip him with as much help as you can. I would get under the hood and try to find out what's going on. But I hear your husband too saying, hey, I want him to stand up for himself a little bit. We're not talking about violence. We're talking about just being able to stand up for himself. And then to say, I'll tell you what, son, why don't we do this? Why don't you go through the end of this semester and let's evaluate where we are at this point. But see what you can do to help him connect with a friend in that school. Because there's something to be said for helping a child face whatever challenge they're facing. We don't want our children just to see something that's difficult or hard and run from it and go to something else. That doesn't build the kind of confidence that they need. And I hear your heart, Keitha. You're a mom. That's a mom's heart. You don't want your boy being, taken advantage of and coming home with tears. But in that process, there can be some growth of strength and confidence in his life. So I'd work with him a little bit on this before I would pull the plug on getting him out of there. All right. By the way, I know this is a major issue in schools, and some of you are teachers. Maybe you can, administrators can share some comments on our storyline. Tell us what you've learned, how that works, what's helpful for kids that are feeling bullied, because maybe they're just a little different. All right. I'm Dr. Randy. I'll tell you what, let's just stay in the studio here and continue to talk about parenting. If you have a question, something going on in your home, your family, your relationship, you want to know how intentional living can help, I'm here for you. We'll talk in the next half hour at 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.